Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pony Development Sync for March 14th, 2023. I'm your host, Joe McElvain. If there's others on the call would like to say their names to so people who are listening to the recording can associate a name to the voice, now is the right time for that.
Hi, this is Adrian.
Hi, this is Rhett.
All righty. We have a very small agenda for the day. And let's take a look at the auto-generated agenda. So we have one issue ticket in the Pony C repo. Let's look at issue ticket 4324. Actually, I don't think there's that much to look at. This is the most recent activity was from Sean saying he's not convinced this is an issue in practice. He agrees it's a violation of the quoted POSIX spec, but he's not sure if it matters. What matters is whether that spec is implemented by our target platforms. So I think there's some more discussion that needs to happen, but we don't have Sean with us this week. Maybe we'll discuss another time. Does anybody here have anything else to say about this pthread create issue ticket?
Nope, sir.
And just for those listening along, this is a rather arcane sort of rules lawyery sort of thing that we're doing wrong with pthread create that probably doesn't matter in practice until someday when it might. And that's the question is like, what kind of risk does it pose to us in the future? Okay. Let's take a look at, I'll just briefly mention, I have two pull requests, one of which is a draft PR, one of which is actually ready for review. The ready for review PR is LLVM 15 updates, which was a doozy and quite frustrating at times, but it should be stable and ready to go. And the main thing that's still an open question, and I guess we can get feedback from those on the call here. I posted about it in the ticket, which is, I guess, pull request 4327 in the Pony C repo. When we do optimization, passes on the LLVM IR after we generate it. We run the standard LLVM IR optimization passes, and we also have four custom passes that we inject into that process. And those custom passes are doing Pony specific things that we know or perhaps believe to be safe. But LLVM itself doesn't know about the semantics for whatever reason, doesn't know that they're safe. That is making optimizations handle some Pony specific things that we can know about. Part of the switch to LLVM 15 was switching to run their new pass manager, which I think runs things perhaps in a bit of a different order it came out a bit differently. So it surfaced that an existing optimization pass that I didn't really touch as part of this process was now giving unsafe results for some cases involving array chop and string chop. For those who know of array chop and string chop, they take a mutable array or string and split the buffer into being owned by two separate arrays or strings. The key thing there is the left side, if you grow it by adding more things onto it or reserving more space into it, if you grow it, it needs to allocate a new buffer area so that it's not writing into the buffer that's owned by the right side after you chop it. And that is normally handled just fine. And it started failing and I tracked it down and realized that this optimization pass that we have called merge realloc was trying to find places where, the whole goal of the pass is to try to find places where it can remove calls to reallocate to try to use the existing pointer. And it wasn't smart enough. Wasn't doing the proper analysis it would need to do in order to determine that the original pointer may still be in use and we don't want to reuse it for something different. We actually did want to reallocate that. Thank you very much. So it was lacking the analysis to handle that. I haven't looked into whether it would be possible to add that analysis. It seems definitely non-trivial and beyond the scope of what I wanted to do. So the open question in my mind is, do I leave that pass in the code base and disable it with a comment, or do I just remove it with a note in the release notes about it? And anybody who wanted to carry that work forward and figure out a safe way to implement it could do so by looking at the code in the historical Git repo and carrying it forward. I'm definitely leaning toward that one because I don't like keeping dead code around, but I wanted to solicit feedback on that question.
Yeah, I think I agree that I'd rather not see dead code in there.
Okay. Red, any thoughts?
I'd need to look at it, but no thoughts as of yet.
Would you have just at least a little stub comment saying there was an optimization here if you want to find out about it, look at diff, whatever?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And I can also, in the release note where I mention it being removed, I can link to the last commit where it was present.
Right.
For someone who wanted to use that as a historical jumping off point.
Do we know how much of a difference the optimization makes? Or is that's like a how long is a piece of string question, I know.
Yeah, how long is a piece of string? That's a good metaphor. I mean, it depends on how many reallocations you do and how many of them could be removed by this pass. And the way to do that would be to measure on some existing set of applications and say, hey, what's the speed difference here? And we could do that, but also given that it's like not safe at all in the absence of somebody stepping in to make it safe, we can't keep it around. So like if someone was like adding a new optimization pass or was making changes to an optimization pass, I'd probably want to see what those like some experimental numbers for those changes that justify them. But for removing something that's unsafe, I don't think it needs to meet that threshold because we just can't have it around if it's not safe.
Yeah.
But it might be possible to make it safe, but it just never was in the first place because it wasn't, there's nothing in the past that does any tracking for what pointers might be related to any other pointers. It's only strictly looking at that single sort of LLVM SSA identity. And so anything that bases one pointer off of another becomes like a black box to this pass. It doesn't realize the relationship. And so there's all sorts of ways that this could go wrong as it currently is. I do think that LLVM has some internal machinery for recognizing the relationships between pointers, but that's beyond like what I want to work on with my time right at the moment. So it's an exercise left for the reader.
Right.
Okay. Well, with that said, I have one more other PR that I'm going to mark as ready for review as soon as the LLVM 15 one is merged, which is just, this is 4328. This is going to, right now it has all the LLVM 15 commits because I didn't want to bother dealing with merge conflicts or dealing with recompiling LLVM twice. So I just based on the other branch and I'll mark it as ready for review when the first branch is merged. This one is doing a small tweak to make a struct be better packed. So that is that. Now we are through the auto-generated agenda. Does anybody have topics they want to discuss?
Nope, nothing appropriate.
Can we say anything about the maybe pointer conversation that came up right before we started recording? Or sorry, not maybe pointer. Or is it called maybe pointer? I forget what the current name is. Nullable pointer?
Nullable pointer, yeah. What about it?
Oh, sorry. I my audio was broken and I may have interrupted someone. Anyway, I'm back. I can hear you now.
Okay. What did you want to say about that in the context of this sync call?
Oh, I'm just saying that there's continuing misgivings about the name, and it's already been renamed twice. One of the names that was proposed before we started recording was actually the original name. So we have this thing currently called Nullable Pointer, used to be called Maybe Pointer. Before that was called Maybe. It's intended to be used only for representing the idea of a CFFI value passed to or from a C function. That's a pointer to a struct, a pointer to a C struct, or a direct reference to a pony struct, which is already abstracted by a pointer, that may be possibly null. And that is what it's made to represent. But the name does not convey that so well. Creates confusion in all three iterations of the name so far. And I think if anyone does want to propose new names, an RFC could be done for that.
Okay. I think the main problem is just when you see that name next to the other pointer name, that it becomes confusing. Or the problem is that it claims to be a nullable pointer, but it's really a nullable class, right? It's not a pointer. It's not a pointer, it's a nullable, but the current name kind of obfuscates that.
Yeah, it kind of introduces a bunch of methods you can call on it, but it doesn't actually create a pointer to the struct. Right. That is already built into the types. If you've got a struct called X and you say nullable pointer to X, then it is a pointer to X. Whereas if you say pointer to X, it's a pointer to a pointer to X.
Right. Then the current name implies an additional layer of indirection, which is not the fact.
Right. And you can't do pointer to nullable pointer to X either. So it can get a little confusing.
I keep coming back to this, the word for, right? Like if you said it's a nullable four pointers, or a maybe four pointers, or a maybe four struct. It makes it clear that it really is kind of like a maybe. It really is trying to be a maybe as per its original name, right?
Yeah, the original name was maybe, but the issue was it only does maybe for this one specific really CFFI oriented case,
right?
Which is way too specific for such a general name like maybe.
It is maybe for struct, I think, is what it really is.
Yeah, I mean, that name makes reasonable sense to me.
All right.
Okay. Any other topics we want to talk about?
We're receiving a tuple as a return from an FFI call is higher up my RFC list, I'll be honest. Does suppose LLVM 15 makes that any easier, does it?
No, LLVM 15 won't help with that. I had a pull request that I was working on a while ago where I was partway through this, got a bit frustrated and stepped away from it for a while. Because there's just like so many edge cases to worry about. But I'll say, how big is the tuple that you're trying to deal with in the return value? How many bytes?
I don't know, but I would rather have something that's too small than you know, the other. I don't know.
If it's big, the answer is easy. Because when C... This is the cause of the headaches. When C tells you that it's a direct struct, like value, it's a lie. Or based on some very target-specific heuristics, it is sometimes a lie. Although if your struct is big enough, it's always a lie. in reality, it's getting moved. Like when your struct is big enough to exceed the limits of what the C ABI will allow for the return, for the return type as a value, when it's too big to fit in, like, I think like two registers. I mean, very roughly speaking, like I said, this is some complex target specific heuristics, but very roughly speaking, if it doesn't fit in two registers, then it's going to get moved into, it's going to get silently moved as if you had put a pointer to the struct as the first argument, like an out pointer in C.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a CFFI call that's pointing to a struct that you know is going to be bigger than two registers, you can safely today, with no changes in Pony, pass that in as a struct argument, as a Pony struct, which is a struct pointer in C, and the call will fill that struct as its return, as its sort of pseudo return value. It will fill that struct that you passed in. So you add it as an additional first argument to the call, and it will fill it. And so you can achieve that C call even without the language support of kind of automatically doing the silly C ABI thing.
How does it know that you intend the first argument to be used that way? Or is it always going to use that first argument that way because the struct is so large?
How does what know? The ABI?
Yeah, the ABI or the compiler, I'm not even sure. If we're doing Pony FFI, wouldn't we always have to take this fact into account and make sure that we have a first argument in our use statement?
So the branch that I was doing was basically trying to take the same, like kind of do the same-ish thing that Clang does and look at, okay, is it this case? Is it this case? Is it this case? Is it this case? And then like diagnose whether it needs to be moved into an implicit initial parameter. Uh-huh. So I was trying to make it kind of transparent, or not transparent. I always struggle with the right word to use here. I was trying to make it invisible to the user that this was going on, so that you would write your use statement to match the C header.
Okay.
And both Clang and Pony C, or you know, GCC if you're using GCC instead of Clang. But yeah, both Clang and Pony C would silently be saying, oh, you said use this, but I know you really meant use this. I know you really meant this return value to be a struct pointer, because surely you wouldn't be so stupid as to return a large struct as a value. They would both be invisibly doing that dance of rearranging what you meant. And so what I'm saying is, today, if you know that reliably on all the platforms for this specific struct, that it's always going to qualify for this kind of invisible shift, you can do it as a visible shift in your Pony source code that corresponds to the invisible shift on the Clang side and harmoniously makes the call.
Okay, so as things currently stand today, if we don't put that first parameter in there when it's going to be done that way by a Clang, is there an error? I mean, is it going to break?
It will break at runtime in subtle memory corruption ways, because just like with any mistaken FFI call, if you mistake how you're calling it, Pony has no way of knowing that, and warn you ahead of time.
That's great. That's a good thing to know. So for Pony FFI, as things currently stand, you might have to write a use statement that does not match the C signature.
Yeah, and actually I want to amend what I said a little bit ago. I mean, just now, was in the sense that if you try to return a struct as a value, you have to do that as a tuple, right? Because the tuple is the only true C struct in Pony. If you try to do a tuple return value right now, Pony will yell at you and say, I don't know how to do this.
Yes.
So you do get an error at compile time today. I wanted to correct that because I implied that you did that you did not. So it won't fail at runtime because you won't get to runtime. Like it just won't let you do it at all, even if it wasn't going to have the silent shift, because Pony doesn't know whether it's going to have the silent shift or not at this time. So the only case that you can handle for returning a struct is if it's a large enough struct that you can pass it in as the implicit initial parameter rather and make that explicit on the Pony side.
Mm-hmm.
And omit the return value.
Right. And if I don't do that when it's required, then it will crash at runtime.
Yeah, although if you try to return a tuple, it will error at compile time.
Right. So if I haven't done it, then presumably I would have put the tuple return yes. value, in which case I would get the compiler error. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you would have done that unless you had the mistaken belief that Pony struct was the same as C struct, and you tried to return the Pony struct directly when the Pony struct is a pointer and doesn't match the C struct, in which case, yeah, you would get a failure match at runtime, an unexplained failure at runtime because you had the C signature wrong because you misunderstood Pony struct versus C struct.
This might actually explain the problem of having them now that I've asked, so this is very timely.
Yes.
Excellent.
So, Red, what size is your struct? How big?
They vary in size, but I mean, they're all bit. So, what would the size of a register be? 64 bits, 128
bits? Yeah, basically, if it's bigger than 128 bits, you're probably fine to have it as an initial parameter.
Okay, all of my structs are larger than 128 bits.
Yeah. So then you should be able to just create the empty version of that struct. What the wrinkle that introduces for you is that you need to initialize it on your side, even though that's totally redundant.
Yep. Yeah, I know. I've got the same thing with binding as I'm working on right now, where there's a whole bunch of structures and I need to initialize them to, I don't know, zero values, I guess, right?
Same it would be problem. Nice. Yeah, it'd be nice if Pony had a mechanism for saying, I'm not sure how you would represent this in syntax. Maybe this would be an exercise for somebody to work on in an RFC, but a way to say, hey, this struct pointer that I'm passing into this FFI call, or sorry, this Pony struct, which is a C struct pointer, then passing in FFI call, this is an out parameter in C, and I expect it to initialize that for me, whether that is, it could be a nullable struct, couldn't it? Oh, well, that's when...
When you use address of.
Yes, address of, but you can't do address of a tuple, can you? Maybe you can, but anyway, if you use address of, it's gonna use the address of, it's gonna have the double indirection when you only wanted single indirection. If you use address of a Pony struct,
yeah.
So it's like you want a way to say. Yeah, and a lot of those C functions could be null. So the nullable pointer / maybe for struct thing comes into play here as well, because if you want some way to say this C call is going to fill in a struct for me. Oh no, it wouldn't be a nullable struct. It's not going to be able to set that retroactively to null. Never mind that last part. So yeah, it's basically like saying, I want a new instance of this pony struct that I'm not going to initialize to anything. I just want the allocated memory. Don't make me initialize the fields, because I'm going to immediately pass it into an FFI call that must initialize those fields. And as an FFI user, I am certifying that I know what I'm doing.
Right. Yeah. 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 And so my similar problem is with return value. So C is actually allocating this struct. I'm getting it back as a pointer, and still I'm obligated to initialize all those structs in that struct, even though I'm never ever creating one myself.
Yep.
Oh, you mean you want a way to, okay, so yeah, you're saying you have to write a constructor for the struct, even if you never actually want to call the constructor.
Right.
So, and of course the constructor has to initialize everything. So yeah. Okay. So those are two related, but slightly different problems, but yeah, they probably have an overlapping solution where you have some way to say this struct has no constructor. It cannot be constructed from pony.
Right. Right.
And then a way to say this variable that does not have a value assigned is filled in by FFI. Well, that's the tricky part. I'm not sure how you represent that in syntax, but you're basically saying you have some kind of like out parameter, you know, out argument. I wonder what the syntax for that could look like. Well, maybe I'm overthinking it a little bit. I guess if I wanted to get a little bit simpler, right, you don't need to introduce new syntax. If there was an
automatic zero constructor, right?
Even the zero might be too heavy for you though. Like you may not want to zero out the memory if you're trying to be in performant code. So, so if there was an FFI call you could make to the pony, like an internal pony FFI call that says, give me a non-initialized instance of this type.
Well, can't you just say that would be the, oh yeah, I take that back.
Basically what I'm thinking of is like being able to call like pony alloc struct as an FFI call.
Yeah.
And it would return you a struct that was allocated, but it was not, it was not initialized, whether to zero or with any kind of constructor. And it was just garbage memory. And then you pass it to a C call. But yeah, the fact that I suggested that being an FFI call, the pony alloc struct idea, rather than like new syntax, is that if it's an FFI call, then you're already, you know that you're doing something unsafe with this FFI.
Right.
And it's, there's nothing, if your package doesn't have FFI permissions, you can't do it. So it's kind of guarded by the same boundaries for memory unsafety.
I'll tell you one thing that would be really nice, and I'm probably going to regret saying this, is a constructor where you can construct a struct from a pointer. So I could then take, for example, an array U8, which is a whole bunch of stuff. And I could then use a whole, you know, basically apply structs in order to basically template stuff out. I'm thinking about things like Ethernet packets and, you know, and TCP packets are basically all represented with nested structs in C. Being able to apply some kind of I'm not necessarily saying using structs, but applying some kind of template to an area of memory or an array U8 would be really, really useful. But that goes back to what, it's funny actually, Sean said a couple of weeks ago, he says he's continuously surprised that I don't ask for like this kind of disassembling type pattern matching, bit matching syntax for Pony. I think it would be a really useful thing.
Well, that's a separate discussion, I think, and we could talk about that. But I want to first follow up on the thing you said about, okay, I have a pointer to this region of memory, and I want to call the constructor not with a pony allocated instance, but with this this region of memory that I'm, so it's kind of the opposite, right? It's the opposite of the other problem. Was the other problem was I wanted pony alloc something and not initialize it at all, so it could be initialized by C. And this one was saying I have a pointer from C that's allocated something by C in some way, or in some other mechanism, and I want to treat that as a pony object. And
that's kind of what I was
fill it in.
That's the same as my use case, right? Where I was saying I'm getting these structs that are allocated, I'm getting a pointer to them.
Okay.
So I think that that's...
Well, it's different, I think, because... Well, tell me if I misunderstood you, Red, because you have... In the situation you're describing, Adrian, C has already initialized it, and I... Yes. And you don't want to run the... You don't want to initialize it again on pony side and wipe out the old values. Whereas Red, I understood your use case as I have some slab of memory and I want to initialize it by using a constructor in pony.
No, not quite. I have a slab of memory which contains data that I want to that I won't be able to access as a struct.
So it is the same as Adrian's. Okay.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Because except that in the case that I'm thinking of, this would actually be a C pointer that I would have acquired from another piece of pony code, not a CFFI thing. Because if it was a CFFI thing, then I would just set my return value for the C call to be a struct, right? And it would just work. So it's a slightly different use case.
So
this is probably something we should write examples out for on the forum and dig through. Because I think we're very subtly different.
It's kind of vaguely similar to array from C pointer, right?
Yes.
Except you just want to have a from C pointer automatically for any struct.
Yes. Because right now I'm doing that, but I basically have to write a constructor which then disassembles the array U8 that I've gotten, maps it to individual bits and so on and so forth, which is fine. It just becomes a pain when it's huge.
You know, I think this comes up in the CFML wrappers as well, where the C code is returning events, like UI events, and it's a C union of things. So in the wrapper, it has to look and see what it is, and then it has to pick it apart and read it. Yeah. And when it would be nice if you could just look at the first byte, see what it, or I don't look at whatever the discriminator is, and then just do a from C pointer to get an instance of that type. Yeah.
That was
so it actually does happen that you want to do this.
So in the Savvy compiler, which is a compiler that I work on that's similar to the Pony compiler. I'm just explaining for those listening along. The way I handled some use cases like this was a very simple addition of similar to what I said earlier about adding like a pony alloc struct function that you could call as an FFI function. It's similar to that, but just a lot simpler in the Savvy compiler, it automatically with your program, it compiles a C function called savvy_cast_pointer. And it takes a pointer as the argument and it returns a pointer. And inside the function, it just returns its parameter. That's all it does. But what that allows you to do is call that as an FFI function with a certain input type and a certain output type to basically cast any pointer to any other kind of pointer.
Yeah, this is the thing that we talked about RF seeing a little while ago, where we know this is an unsafe operation, effectively casting from one type to another, but because it's under the auspices of FFI, then you know, you break it, you get to keep both pieces.
Yes. Yeah. It's using the same safety model and like doing something you could already do in C today with just a lot of hassle of writing, a shim and compiling it alongside the program. Like, why not just go ahead and include this as a shim if you need it, because it's such a versatile shim that can be used for many use cases. Just casting arbitrary A to arbitrary B.
Yeah, I've been looking in glibc for anything that will take a U64 and return a U64, because that would work for me. But it doesn't exist.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a simple thing. Like, why would you write a function that does that if not as a shim workaround? Now, I mean, if you had your LLVM IR PR that you were working on, Red, that one would make the same thing very easy, very possible.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's such a common need that why not build it into language is my position. So if someone wanted to write an RFC for that, I would give my big thumbs up.
Maybe we should work on that, Red.
I think that's a great idea. That would solve an awful lot of problems.
Now, something that you may run into, I'm thinking about right now in Pony, I'm trying to remember where we're at currently with FFI declarations. And if you have the same function, can you wrap it in two different ways in two different files? Or do those files have to be different packages?
They have to be different packages.
Yes, so that's the other problem that you'll run into. If all you did was the same thing I did over in the Savvy compiler, you can, like, all the FFI functions are, as I've discussed here in the past, like, I thought it was cleaner to have FFI functions be inside of a module, or sorry, inside of a primitive, I should say, a Pony primitive, which I was calling a module. So basically, they're like functions inside a module, and you can also say, well, I guess what you really need is to say, when I call this name, it maps to this C name, which is not necessarily the same as what I used with the call site. That's really all you need. You don't need the modules. That was kind of a red herring. And I use this for some Windows functions too, because there's a lot of Windows functions that start with a capital letter that look like type names, just under the conventions of the language. And so I say, all right, I'm going to call it this in my source code, but the foreign function name is this. So that would probably be something you would want to have as a companion RFC if you had many different casting needs in the same project. Does that make sense?
I think so. But I mean, the fact that you can change the call arguments at the call site and the return arguments at the call site makes it far less. In Pony now, yes. You can, yes.
I couldn't remember where we were at with that. So even though you had to declare it ahead of time, you can change it?
Oh yeah, you can cheat.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not recommending it, and I probably shouldn't say how to cheat the compiler on a recorded call, but it is completely possible to do.
Not by using separate packages?
Not by using separate packages. Okay. But what you do at that point then is you effectively give up the validation that the use command gives. So is it a good idea? Probably not, but
I'm curious, but I guess I'll ask you later. okay. Yeah. So, I mean, those are my thoughts. Like, I think that it's totally reasonable for the Pony compiler to add some utility shims that have a versatile and variegated use for FFI users, and that those would just be shims that, like, utility shims built in that you can just leverage by knowing what names to use, and making that an ergonomic experience seems like a totally reasonable thing to me, even if it lets you do wildly unsafe things because it's FFI and you are already doing wildly unsafe things. And as long as it's all FFI, like, that's just my, that's my opinion on the matter, is like, as long as it's still FFI, it's Wild West.
Yep.
Yep. That would save an awful lot of hoops that we're having to jump through.
So I would support RFCs that, that move us into such a world.
All right. Time to make a wish list, Adrian.
Yeah, we should sketch something up and do an RFC.
Yeah.
We can talk about it on Friday, maybe. Or
I think
or online in Zulip.
I think that's a great idea. We'll make a list of all our painful use cases and see if we can, like, hypothesize some solutions for them, and then we'll look at building an RFC from that.
Okay. Yeah. Feel free to ping me if there's, like, questions about, like, what's feasible on the FFI, you know, code gen side or whatever.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other topics people want to raise in the last 6 minutes here? All right, then. I appreciate everyone's time. Thanks to those who attended and those listening along to the recording later. And we will see you next week. Bye.